boys, we've got David Ellard down here. David, my word, what a great performance after. It looked as though it was a very even first half, mate, and but you really took them going right out of their grasp and that paid dividends right in the end.
Yeah, look, we got off to a bit of a slow start. Our intensity was down a little bit, so half-time we addressed that and we knew if we come out and play good footy, because obviously the first half wasn't that great and there was only a point in at half-time, so we knew if we come out and play some good footy and lift our intensity around the ball and won the first ball, we could really do some damage on the scoreboard. So it was a credit to the boys after that, fired up, and yeah, we come through with the win.
It was a lot of hard go running out there, Dave, because no doubt, obviously you're feeling very tight. There's a lot of sweat around your head and also your arms and that. But I was just going to say, was David Teague very measured at half?
Yeah, he was. He knew that we were playing pretty ordinary, and it's just a matter of time until we turned it around. So I think he addressed the boys and look, it was good to come out in the second half and do what he said and lifted our intensity, and we come away with a win, which is great.
Now, what did he say for you, Carter? Did he say to you, obviously stick to the team structure, make sure you push the ball forward, make sure we lay a lot of tackles, get some goals out of it from turnovers? Is that what he said to you three-quarter time?
Yeah, he just sort of reiterated what he said at halftime, and he just sort of said that if we come out and we do what we did, like he said, look what happened to the scoreboard. So as long as we continue that in the second, the last quarter of that half, he knew that we were pretty close to it.
Well, David, thanks very much for joining us here on KC Radio 97.7. Hopefully you may get a game for the Blues, and after the way they nearly got up yesterday, hopefully you might get a call on the side.
Yeah, look, that's the goal, but take 1 week at a time, mate.
Well, David, back to you, Chris, and we'll get David Teague after the song, mate.
Cheers for that, Phil. Good interviews down at ground. I'm looking forward to a strong rendition of the Bull Ants song. Final score from Churnside Park. Long-time listener, Brad Jamison.
Look,
here we go. Phil again. We'll come back to
that
in a sec.
Black guy there, bit of a scratch across the eye there, but I must say it was a good performance from your performance personally and the whole team as well.
Yeah, well, we were struggling at half-time and got a bit of a rev and come out after half-time and showed how good we are, I reckon.
You're very composed. You sound very shy, though.
Yeah, just try and keep it low-key. Good win, though. 3-1 now. 3-1, so good start of the year.
And next week you've got Sandringham, a tough one, to Trevor Barker Oval.
Yeah, they're always tough down there. They're always a good team. New alignment now. So they're with, who are they with? They're with St Kilda now, so St Kilda up and flying, so see how we go.
Well done, Luke. Back to you, Chris.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks there, Phil. Luke Morgan, who copped a cut across the eye when he landed heavily on the ground in about the last 2 minutes of the game, having gone in the contest against Neil Witherton. Solid, as were all the Bull Ants players this afternoon. I was saying, long-time listener Brad Jamison has given us a score from Churnside Park, the final score there. Werribee 13 goals, 12-90 to Box Hill 10-9-69. And also, he's given us a score in the TAC Cup this afternoon. The North Ballarat Rebels defeated the Western Jets by 10 goals. So I've missed out on that tip, Benny, because I tipped the Jets away from home.
Yeah, being a Werribee boy, I do follow how the Western Jets are going, and off to a indifferent start to the year. They've been pretty good, pretty competitive, but falling short again.
So the final scores there. The Bull Ants by 47 points here.
Too much run. Too much carry and too much pressure on the ball carrier. And yeah. Too much potency up forward.
I thought you got too much run from too much curry.
Yeah. Jim Hyde's just coming in. One of the jokes of the day, though.
I think that might be Mr. Parkin if he's listening at home this afternoon, isn't it, Jim Hines?
Yeah, he's having a bit of gastro.
Darren Parkin, usually involved with us on a Sunday afternoon, but indisposed, according to him, this afternoon.
Well, hopefully you get soon. Get better soon, Darren. And, Chris, having a look at the votes, mate. What were your thoughts this afternoon?
Well, as I say, too much run there. And really, the Bull Ants, strong through the centre, cleaner by hand. Robinson, Hadley, Ellard, the smaller player, looking down the names. Joe Anderson, who gave run off the half-back line. They back themselves. They're playing with confidence at the moment, and they're playing with purpose. It's a more attacking game plan than we've traditionally seen from the Bull Ants under David Teague, and before that, under Barry Mitchell.
Yep.
And they get players forward to the footy really early. They counter-attack strongly, and as I say, their run really cut the Frankston apart in the third term. Here's the song.
Oh,
song down there from the rooms. Phil Pearce with the Bull Ants. The boys just discussing that we don't usually get the quality of a rendition this far away at Busy Park.
That's good.
Yeah, usually the microphone doesn't travel that far. It's doing all right this afternoon, though, Benny, as we discovered from you and Brendan Favola in the boundary.
Oh, look, I'm still getting over it, Chris, but no, great work down there with Phil. I'm sure he's going to have Teagy coming up, so we'll get ready for that one.
Deep into time on at the MCG in a final term. Geelong lead by, a very inaccurate Geelong lead by 37 points against Melbourne, 14-21, 105 to Melbourne, 10-8. 68, so I think, as was expected there, the result at the MCG. Here we go, David Teague with Phil Pearce.
Very much. Well, I don't know what's going through David Teague's mind at the moment, but he wouldn't have been very happy with the Northern Bull Ants first half because it was pretty even. David, you must have had a few concerns on your mind.
Oh, yeah, we knew Frankston, obviously, Norton 3 were going to be fired up to come out at us, and they did that. I thought they won the contested ball early, and I thought our guys were trying, but we probably just weren't quite sticking to the game plan as well as we would have liked. But in the second half, they really responded, and it was good.
And I suppose the pleasing about that win was 14 individual goal kickers, where they had about half a dozen. That must have really pleased you, a very even contribution from your 22 players.
Yeah, it was, and that's what wins football, and last week was similar. We had 22 players, and today everyone played their part at certain stages throughout the game. Obviously, early on, we probably had a couple down, and I challenged them at half-time, and they really responded. I thought Mark Austin played a great first half down back, went forward, gave us a nice big target, took a couple of catches, and moving Jordan Bannister on ball was a big plus for us. Gave some real grunt and drive in there and won a lot of contested ball.
Now, I noticed a few of the times when they were kicking out there in the third term, and I think your zone set it up zone pretty well because they made a few kicking errors and you could have easily punished them, but obviously you were a bit disappointed with that.
Oh, our kicking a goal wasn't the best. Last week we kicked five straight against the Breeze. In tough conditions, yeah. So I don't think it's from a lack of skill. I think today we weren't quite on in that area, and hopefully next week that we will be.
And a few blokes I want to mention, young Wesley Belmore, four goals, did a great job. Sean Austin, Mark Austin, and a few of your good players, Brett Fisher, I thought tried pretty hard, and in the ruck, Sean Hampson did pretty well, so you must have been very pleased with that effort.
Yeah, it was Wes's first game, and he got a late call up with Chris Yaron pulling out, and he was really good. His ability to be at the right spot at the right time, and you'd love to have had a big leading forward there at times because he just always got to the right spot. So he's got a great football brain, and he's a beautiful kick when he's within range, and he probably could have finished with another seven. Probably had three shots at about 50 and didn't quite make it, but he was great in his first game. And Sean Austin, another one you mentioned, who made his debut last week, was very good last week, and again his toughness and hardness gives us a real competitive edge.
Well, you can bet next week's going to be a real tough game because you're going to come up against a side of lost two in a row in Sandringham out at Trevor Barker, and they'll be really coming at you like a million miles an hour like they've always done at Trevor Barker Oval. And then I think from memory you've got the bye the next week and another tough away trip out at Chirnside Park, so it doesn't get any easier.
Oh, no, there's no real easy games in the league this year. You look at it from one week to another, and there's some great competition, but Sandringham, obviously a very proud club. They've had a good history, and it's going to be a great challenge next week, so we'll have to set ourselves for that.
Well, David, look, it's always good to chat with you here on KC Radio 97.7. You're fairly composed, and you'll be pretty relieved to get out for the win, so thanks for joining us, and good luck next week when we see you out at Trevor Barker Oval.
Cheers, thanks a lot, guys.
Back to you, guys.
Good stuff, Phil, and to David Teague, who thoroughly relishes the challenge of being interviewed by fabulous Phil Pearce once or twice.
Doesn't everybody relish the opportunity? But no, he's done a great job down there, Phil, today. And David Teague, a terrific job with his side, running out winners over the Dolphins this afternoon.
They were. That score again, 15-19-109, the Bull Ants, Frankston 9-8-62. Phil went out for the interview, so we're only able to give multiple goal kickers before. We'll go through them all now. Wes Bilney led the way with four goals, three behinds, and two shots sailing out of bounds. Two each to Sean Austin and to Mark Austin. Singles the rest of the way to McCorkle, Jared Bannister, Boundy, Morgan, Fisher, Garlett and Robinson for the Bull Ants. While for Frankston, Tory Dixon was the only multiple goal kicker there with two. Singles to Proctor, Lowry, Murray, Dorr, McDonald, Winterton and Berry. And after half-time, Ben Taylor, it was a display of strength from the Bull Ants. 11 goals, 9 to 3 goals, 3. So 20 scoring shots to 6 really sums up the dominance throughout the centre. Those centre breaks and the running corridor footy, which was on display from the Bullants.
Yeah, well, David Teague spoke about that at quarter time. He just wanted them to start going through that midfield because, as you said, you know, they look most dangerous when they do. And just the link-up of handballs and the experience just around the packs when the ball hit the ground really paid dividends in the end for the Bullants. And having a target up, three or four targets up forward today really was a difference. Went up the other end. You know, Aaron Murray, you know, took a couple of marks but didn't really quite get the job done in the end. Really outplayed by his opponent in Hartlett.
Just on the Victors, hard to pick out a bad play for them this afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean, Jake Spiteri had a quiet game of defence, was perhaps beaten out early on by Michael Lowry. But, I mean, that aside, there's no player who's really dropped his guard. Frankston, meantime, it's harder to see contributors over the course of the game. Looking through the list, Marigliani only came into the game really late on. Barry again late on. Proctor in it early, but then sort of faded from the game, perhaps still feeling the after effects of his collision 2 weeks ago. Lowry, not sure about his work across half forward there.
Yeah, he come back up forward in the middle of that last quarter, but I thought Jamie Magner was probably one of the better ones for the Dolphins. And obviously, PK, Paul Kennedy.
Yeah, just on Paul Kennedy, he doesn't look match fit. He's not getting himself into the time and space that he previously found last year. I know it's not helped by the fact that the list is struggling generally and they're not playing with great confidence.
Yeah.
But he's always under pressure, isn't he? He's never getting the ball with clean hands and space.
No, he's not the quickest player going around, but yeah, well, he's got a little bit of work to do. Maybe there's something going on off the field that we're not quite aware of, but I'm sure he'll bounce back. He's a champion player for the Franks Footy Club and he'll be firing it. No better way to do it than next week playing against the top side in Williamstown. Big, big game. And
they 0-1-2, the Dolphins, after last year's semi-final.
Yeah, you probably think Williamstown have a head start there. They're in super form and a big win over the Sandringham side yesterday afternoon. They're looking very good, Williamstown.
Aaron Murray ran to the wrong side of a few contests. Daniel Keeley, okay, without really doing anything special. Dale Whelan, ditto. Peter Whelan, he tries hard in ruck, but he's so raw and still has a lot to learn with his around-the-ground
work.
Yeah,
definitely. And, you know, out of the middle, I mean, that's football games have won out of the middle. Mm. And, Whelan, they tried him up forward, they tried him through the ruck. As you said, he's got a lot to learn. Lombardosi, very, 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 very poor this afternoon.
Quiet, wasn't he?
Didn't see a lot of it.
Lombardosi didn't see much of it. Last week was the same as well.
Yeah.
Sean Pollard, very solid in defence.
No, I thought he was good. It was good. He, as you said, he let out his opponent to the pockets today and was right on there. Yeah. Winterton going through a bit of a patch at the moment, turning the footy over, being a bit unclean, not getting the kicks
gets to a lot of contests, though, which is something of a lot of his teammates.
Well, his work rate has been really good. And he played predominantly on the wing this afternoon. As you said, across half back is where he normally plays, but I will mention one of the best players on the ground. When I give my votes, I'll even give him a better mention. But Hibbard.
Yep, Hibbard.
Just terrific. For one of his first games of the year.
First game, in fact. Yeah,
first game for the year. I thought he was the sole performer and standout performer for the Dolphins this afternoon. And he was in everything. And maybe that's got to do with because the ball was down there so much. But every time he was challenged, I think he came out trumps 9 times out of 10. So I'm going to give him a vote this afternoon.
Okay.
One vote for Michael Hibbard.
Hold off your votes for a second there. We'll just don't burn all your bridges too early on there, okay. Benny. We'll go through the rest of the list here. Matthew Burns, again, looked under pressure, didn't do a lot with the footy.
I just think with Burnsy too, there were two times once in the third quarter. No, both in the last quarter. He went up for a mark and just didn't. He got the hands up. It just wasn't strong enough and got dispossessed and Bullants ran away with it. So twice, and then in the goal score in the last quarter, he went up for a mark and just wasn't strong enough and again got ran away with it. So
James Magner, what did you make of his
game?
Yeah,
good. I thought again, his work through the midfield. He had a fair job today. Who was he playing on, Magna?
Playing the centre a lot. Ellard seemed to be one of his opponents for quite a while.
Yeah, no, he just playing off the back of the square.
And Hadley, another, yep.
Well, Hadley, I actually said that he wasn't having the best game, but you proved me wrong in the second half. He really linked up that defence. And as I said, one of the most, we said it in pre-match, one of the most disciplined defences in the competition, and you know they really stood tall today, the Bullets. They had that pace, as you talked about, Chris.
Yeah, Brett Dorr, quiet for much of the game. Didn't do much in ruck when he was thrown in there, but across centre-half back, he got a few touches in the final term.
Yeah,
game was dead, but at least he got the hand on the footy.
Yeah, well, maybe Shannon Green had to make some of those moves a lot earlier on.
Yeah.
Probably left it a little bit too late to make certain moves at certain times.
Shane McDonald, we didn't see much of him.
We didn't see much of him, but what we did see was pretty good. I think he set up a few goals, and I think he kicked a goal himself.
Yep.
So, no, he's only learning the game, and he'll be okay, but obviously didn't have a lot of time on the ground.
Dixon good across half forward again. Shinner's thrown to the ruck briefly. Justin Berry's the interesting one, though. Spent a lot of time having to go back towards half forward to open up his forward line, create some link and run. It's not where his best footy's played, though, is it? It's not a good sign for Frankston when Justin Berry's collecting the footy across half-back.
No, it's not. He spent a lot of time in the midfield and in previous years, and, of course, that forward is where he's most dangerous. And the Frankston fans, we know Justin Berry's fiancée very well down at Frankston Park on those I Love Frankston days.
Yeah.
She might have to have a word to him at home tonight and just get him back into some form.
And finally, Mark Bagley, good through the centre. I thought he was good at this ball used to.
Yeah,
and Michael Ablett, gee, he gets a lot of the pill, but the skill there is he's, after a few years away from this level, the pace of the game seems to just be something he's coming to grips with once again. As I say, a four-time BNF winner at the club. So he's got the skills
still,
and he's got the talent. But
still reads to play pretty well, though. He knows where the fall of the ball is going to be. But as you said, disposal, especially at this level, and if you want to go up to the next level one day, I mean, yeah, obviously disposal's the key. When you're coming up against quality AFL players, they'll hurt you every time.
Fabulous Phil.
Yes, look, guys, I must say, it was a big effort by the Northern Bullets. They really had to do something in that second half, like Ben said, and we thought at halftime it was going to be a fairly even contest, but as we've been saying on air that Frankston's second halves have not been good, I think they've got real massive problems because I think when you look at it, Chris, I think their finals campaign is just about over. I hate to say it, but
Norton 4, it's not good, is it?
Oh, it's not good.
Williamstown next week too.
And a few of the blokes like Winterton, Derry, Murray, these fellows, very quiet today, just didn't get enough contribution out of them.
Yeah,
Benny, we'll quickly have a look at the Bullets.
Yeah, no,
we talked about them a lot during the course of the afternoon.
Yep,
of course, the Bullets and their run, as I say,
hard
to find a bad player.
Yep.
Where's Billy now? Second week in a row, he's played well. First game in the VFL at senior standard, having played for West Adelaide last year. He and Garlett linked up well on the forward line, those two crumbing forwards.
Well, four goals today, and as you said, Garlett to another one when the ball hit ground level. Just his smarts to know where the ball was going to go and reading it off the pack so well. So, yeah, they were good. They were very good. A little bit inaccurate early on was Bilney, but no, he turned around the second half and put the scoreboard pressure on and really put the Dolphins out of the contest.
And so we'll go to Ben Taylor's votes for the afternoon. A 3-2-1. It's a hard one with the Bull Ants having so many contributors across the board, but come on, Benny.
Well, as I said before, one vote, I'm going to have to give him a vote because he was a sole contributor for the Dolphins. Cross halfback pretty much for the whole day. And Michael Hibbard, number 43, well done. Well done. Well done, young man. He won one vote from me. Two votes, Brad Fisher.
Yep.
I thought his movement through the midfield, and of course, he's pushing forward towards that second half. He really stood up.
I think he got beaten on the air from quite a few contests, though, from Pollard. So
sometimes. But in the end, the scoreboard says a result.
Yep. Clean in his ball use, though.
So I'll give Brad Fisher two votes. And for three votes, there's a lot of apologies here, but Joe Anderson really stood out for me. He didn't do a lot wrong today, and pushed forward when he had to, and pushed back when he had to, and linked up well, and really helped that back line all day long, along with Hadley. So, they're my votes for this afternoon.
So, Benny Taylor giving away the votes this afternoon. He's gone three votes Joe Anderson, two to Brad Fisher, and one to Michael Hibbard on debut.
As I said, there's a lot of apologies there. I mean, I could have thrown in Bannister, I could have thrown in Austin, you can do that for me, Chris.
From the Frankston Dolphins, Michael Hibbard, the one vote. Yeah, I'm just having a look down my list here. As you say, tough game in which to really pick out who the votes go to. Jordan Bannister, I think I'd come close to squeezing in this afternoon.
Very good.
I look here, Richard Hadley, I like the game of. But Hadley, I think, would probably be, if I was giving them out, someone I'd put in the votes. As you say, though, I think pretty much spot on there. Tough game to determine. Mark Austin, though, I liked his swingman style from one end of the game to the other. So I think Austin and Hadley would be the two I'd be looking at. Phil?
Yeah, any news on what's happened at Churnside Park, yes. Chris?
While you were down at ground level, Phil, I can tell you again, thanks to Brad Jamison, that final score from Werribee. It was Werribee 13-12-90, Box Hill 10-9-69.
Oh, so their miserable run continues at Churnside Park, the Box Hill Hawks.
It does, 18 years, Phil.
But at least they didn't get run out of the game like they had the last couple of years, Phil, when they've completely faded away.
Exactly, when we've done the last couple of games on our broadcast. Good. And look, that's obviously a disappointing result for Brendan Bolton and the Box Hill Hawks.
Good. So, those final scores from the AFL too, boys, as I briefly butt in, it was the Sydney Swans 14-10-94 to Richmond 11-9-75 and Geelong 14-21-105 defeating Melbourne 10-8-68. The other game this afternoon, of course, kicking off a few minutes ago, was the Western Bulldogs and St Kilda.
A big game. And
No, it's the microphone.
Just the problem with the microphone there, Benny. So, as you say, some of the results today, a big game. Looking forward to next week now, boys. It is two
Sandy
games.
Versus Northern Bulldogs.
Yep. I can tell you now, there are three sides of the bye next week, Casey, Port Melbourne and Coburg. So just the five games. Firstly, boys, your thoughts on the curtain raiser, Geelong and Werribee Tigers. Who's going to win that one?
Werribee.
Benny?
You've got a problem with the microphone. Yeah, give me your microphone, Phil.
We'll give you the roving mic there, Ben. Your headset's just died, mate. Oh, there you go.
No, give him the microphone. Do as I say.
Okay. No, we're... I think next week Geelong are going to get their first win. They've been awfully close the last few weeks, and they'll beat Werribee next week in the curtain raiser.
Okay, that's an AFL curtain raiser at Skilled Stadium. Sandringham and Northern Bullants again. It's an ABC TV game. It is also our broadcast game on the Saturday. Sandringham and Northern Bullants. Gee, Sandringham bouncing off a tough week this week with a loss to Williamstown, the loss to Xavier Clark. The Bullants, the firings we've seen today.
I'm going for the Zebras.
Okay.
Ben?
Well, good form. Winning form's good form, and I'm just going to have to go with the Bullets.
And on Sunday, three games. It's the Goldfields Derby, and it's being played at Central Park in Stawell, just a couple of weeks after the Stawell gift. Footy's back there, and that game is not being played at Eureka Stadium because of the ongoing groundworks, which saw yesterday's game switched to Visy Park against Collingwood. So North Ballarat against the Bendigo Bombers. Bendigo still struggling hard at the bottom of the ladder.
North Ballarat easily.
I think so too.
There's no such thing as an easy game anymore.
No,
the tipping's out the window.
Definitely right, Jim. Definitely right. But I think from what we saw yesterday, Chris, North Ballarat should get their third win for the year.
Collingwood Box Hill, that's at Visy Park at 2 p.m. on the Sunday. That's a tough one to tip.
Well, they've played a lot of home games, Collingwood, and unlucky to go down yesterday. Game could have gone either way.
They've got a game plan this year. They didn't have one last year for large periods.
Didn't have a lot of structure either. As you said to me yesterday, they found a lot more structure, and they found some key players to go through the middle of the ground. Some of their younger guys, and Blight, and Francis, are really
standing. Danny Stanley.
And Stanley giving an option to goal.
And the final game of the round, our broadcast game at Frankston Park. We're back there again to see Frankston for the third week in a row. Frankston versus Williamstown. 0-4, the Dolphins. 3-0, the Seagulls.
Williamstown to win it in a canter.
Oh, big call there from Phil.
And, Williamstown in terrific form at the moment.
Yeah.
And I think next week the Dolphins are going to be 0-5 because I cannot see them beating the Williamstown side, which leads me to my next question. 0-5 after next week, maybe.
Maybe.
Does Shannon Grant say then, right, I've got to pull the boots on and get back out on that field and lift my side? Because
I reckon he leaves it to this lot.
Well, there you go. That's straight out of Chris Weaver's mouth. And I think he should play.
Okay.
It does work. David Teague did it with the Bullants, and I think having someone like Shannon Grant out on the ground.
The Bullants look a better side though with Teague concentrating on the coaching though. They don't look as hectic and as flustered. Boys, thank you very much for your work this afternoon. To Ben Taylor.